Evolutionary.org presents Evolutionary Hardcore Podcast with your co-hosts, Steve from the American Underground and Mobster from the UK Iron Den. Get ready for the most hardcore and underground info in the industry. And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6...
Evolution.org Hardcore 2.0 is coming your way. This is episode 175. Today we're talking about DECA strategies and DECA dick avoidance by Pharmaquo. So listen, a lot of guys out there have complained about DECA dick over the years. So we're going to go over it. Mobster and I have both used DECA. I've used it a couple times. Mobster has used it many, many times. It's been a big, big, big weapon, especially for Mobster as a power athlete. So it's very, very important we do this podcast to kind of show you different things. And we're going to go over what DECA is. We're going to go over what DECA dick is and what causes it. We're going to talk about how to manage DECA dick, how to properly use DECA with Pharmaquo, and why Pharmaquo is quality. But first, let me remind everybody, we're on Spotify, we're on Apple. The way it works out there with these podcasts, it's all about the algorithms. And yes, algorithms have to pick you up. This way, they recommend our podcast to other people who are listening to similar podcasts out there. So we're not like other podcasts. We do these shows. We prep for these shows. Mobster and I, we're always trying to be accurate. We have all these shows fact-checked by a doctor. We have these shows. We have references. We have articles for this show that I write, and Mobster also contributes to that as well with lots of notes that he jots down. So we're not like other podcasts that just sit there for an hour blabbing about a topic that with no references, with no studies, with no nothing. We're bringing you the facts. We already done the homework for you. We're like a professor, you know, in college, you have a professor that stands up there for an hour and talks and blabs, and they don't tell you shit. Then the other professor in the next class, he's up there for an hour, and not only is he educating the shit out of you and telling you shit, yes, that you don't even think about, but he's also entertaining you at the same time. So we aim to do both. So please make sure you're like, subscribing, and all that, so the algorithms can pick us up. We can grow the channel, and it's worthwhile for the producers and the directors to have our podcast continue. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to continue anymore, and the industry, you know, we'll be full of people out there just blabbing for an hour about nothing and just to hear themselves talk. So let's get into it right away, Mobster. So about what is DECA? And DECA is nandrolone decanate. It's basically a long ester of nandrolone. And nandrolone is a 19-nor testosterone. So they took the testosterone, just like any other steroid. They're going to take a hormone. In this case, it's a testosterone derivative, of course. Other steroids are DHT derivatives. In this case, this is a testosterone derivative. They play around with it. The scientists at one point took that testosterone molecule, played around with it, changed up the atom, and then turned it into this. Now, what was the reasoning that they did this? Was because they wanted to give it less side effects. Yes, I said that. Less side effects. Because nandrolone, in this case, nandrolone decanate, as in DECA for short, has less androgenic effects and it has less estrogenic effects. So it's anywhere from 60 to 80% less estrogenic conversion than straight testosterone. In other words, when you run 500 milligrams of DECA, you're going to get 60 to 80% less aromatization into estrogen than running 500 milligrams of testosterone. Because I can guarantee you, if you do 500 milligrams of testosterone, you're going to end up with estrogenic problems like gyno, water retention, all that stuff. DECA won't give you that running it the same amount as testosterone. So that's the advantage. Number two, the androgenic side effects. You're not going to get that as much aggression on DECA. It's less. There's less aggression. There's less prostate hit. There's less lipid hit running DECA. Okay, believe it or not. Now, if you ask most people out there, they'll say, no, you're wrong. That's not true. It is true. The problem is when people run DECA, and we're going to talk about it later in the show, is they're not running the Deca correctly. They're running it with
Yes.
too much stuff. They're running it with too much testosterone, and then they get a lot of these side effects, and they blame the Deca for it when it's not the Deca's fault. So, Mobster, touch a little bit more on what is Deca, because that word Deca, when you talk to people in the gym, and you say Deca, they're like, wow, it sounds, because it's like Deca, I'm decking someone in the face, I'm decking them. It's like this powerful steroid, and it's really not. It's actually a very mild steroid.
Yeah, look, there's loads of sort of pros and cons when it comes to Deca. I mean, number one pro, let's mention, I say number one of the pros that people talk about on a regular basis, and ironically, I would actually argue in this particular situation, it's definitely a pro, is that on its own, and to some degree, the amount of testosterone, etc., that's run with it. People talk about a lot, but they'll say, oh, it has healing benefits for joint issues. And I say, no, it kind of does a little bit. And then I touch upon the fact that there are a few studies that talk about a mild, small increase in collagen synthesis while you're using DECA on cycle, but it's not significant. And arguably, one of the issues, again, and this is one of the pluses what I was going to talk about, arguably, is a small increase of the amount of water that you're holding in your body, and specifically in and around the joints. And in fact, part of the show research, I looked at another show by Dr. Thomas O'Connor, MD, and he even asked his listeners to give him feedback on the suggestion that there was a small increase in the amount of water or fluid in and around the joints, i.e., the synovial fluid. So basically, did it increase that little bit of natural lubricant that our body produces? But again, only while you're using it. And so the big argument, as I presented many times, is that's great while you're on cycle, but it doesn't mean that your joints have healed. And when you come off cycle, you should lose some of that superfluous fluid, specifically around the joints, that's in the tissue and the joint itself, as the synovial fluid. Go back to your normal condition in that particular regards, and therefore find actually because you've trained hard or even harder while on a stack, while on DECA, you've actually caused either the problem to get worse, or if nothing else, it hasn't gone away. So you're back to where you started. So it doesn't heal joints as such. Lots of people say, oh, yes, it does, like Steve said earlier on, but then you go, okay, so what's the problem now, Joe? It's while you're using it, you're going to get a benefit. Even the whole Decadic thing, which we're going to talk about a specific thread that encouraged us to do this show. And even the comment that Steve made, I like the comment you made, Steve, about the professor and so on and so forth. If I'm lecturing you and I require you to present me an essay on the subject that you've been lectured on, I will also ask for the references. I will also ask for the sources. So for the show, we do this for ourselves so that we know what we're talking about when we're talking to you. But also, we do it in the show notes and we do it in the stuff that's associated with this podcast so that there are chances, depending on which way that you listen to this show, you can go ahead and click on the references that we've used, see the references that we've used, and so on and so forth. So I'm even going to get into the psychological aspect of Decadic, etc. Just for my own personal thing, as Steve said already, I fucking love it. It's always forced being a part of my bulking stack and being bigger, physically bigger, as big as I am, being physically bigger again means that my leverage is better. The joint issue, as Steve's described in and of itself, although I don't really have bad joints, as such tiny bit of wear and tear. And that's just to do with the sheer fact that I've been training a very long time, boost my ability to move heavier weights. So that I would add it as a boost to my strength by being physically bigger. Increased leverage. So the size gain, the water retention that's caused by it, and the way that I use DECA with testosterone or whatever else is to my advantage. And that's the reason why I use it. There's also a thing, I think Dr. Thomas referred to this as well, Steve, where he said it was one of those back in the day drugs. There are, for example, we'll talk about in part of the show, alternatives, like the shorter esterase version. There are different ways of doing things. And one of the arguments, and this goes back to the reference thing that Steve talked about again, we're going to be doing a show not too distant future talking about AI and people using AI for training and but specifically for performance enhancement drug thing. And I said, look, problem's going to be, and we'll enhance this in the show, taking information which essentially comes from bro science, is not based on facts, and reiterating that again and again and again. That's in the shows that Steve talks about at the beginning, in the intro, but also in the information that's provided you if you search for information on, for example, Decadic. The fixes of bro science, some of the fixes of bro science, Steve, some of the causes of bro science because of the way people have run products and so on and so forth. In and of itself, I think it's a fabulous drug. And ironically, and perhaps without me even intending to, and with little research at the time, I've always run it in a certain particular way. And I don't think I ever had any Decadic issues. There's never any problems, certainly in my best years of getting the best results from Deca. So I said, I'm going to run it together. I had any problems in that regard. I don't think it's also Decadic. I will say this just for the listeners again, Steve. It is not something that affects every user. It's
Yeah,
a
we're gonna get
small
into
percentage of them.
that just in
So
a
yes, let's
second.
get into
But
that
let me
as
go
well.
over a little bit of the history now. If you go to a gym and you talk to people mobsters age, and you start talking steroids with them, which I don't recommend you do, but let's say you hypothetically you do, you really got to know someone, you wanted to talk steroids. They say we love DECA. We love DECA. So it's definitely mobsters age range, the 80s, the 90s. Back in those days, a lot of it was about size, mass, strength. They loved DECA because number one, it was cheap. Number two, you could load up the syringe and inject 2 or 3 cc's at a time. It was a very smooth steroid, very smooth compared to Primo. Primo at the time was like injecting motor oil, but DECA was smooth as hell.
And crazy expense.
And it came in 200 milligrams a milliliter, and Primo at the time only came in 100 milligrams a milliliter. So you're getting a lot more bang for your buck. You're talking about Primo being 3, 4 times more expensive, and you have to inject more of it to get anything close to the same effects as DECA. So during that era, it was a big powerlifting, strength, size. People wanted size. We had come from a 60s and 70s being more skinny physiques, the tight waist, the skinny physiques, the Frank Zane type look. Okay, Frank Zane today on stage at a bodybuilding competition would get laughed off stage for being skinny. Sameer Bhanu weighed what, 185 pounds on stage? He's a
Tops,
little guy. He's a short little guy like me, you know? And yeah,
Frank's best body weight was 188, so yeah.
they get laughed off stage today. They look tiny. Even Arnold, he looked tiny. What, 225 pounds? He looked tiny.
225 in his best ever condition, arguably, yes.
Next to the monsters we see today. So it started changing. Bodybuilding started changing in the 80s and 90s, and guys were going more for size. So if you talk to any of these older guys in the gym who are mobsters age, the boomers or the late Gen X, they'll say, oh, DECA, that's some good shit. That's some good shit. They love DECA. So another big reason, though, that DECA is so loved by your group, mobster, your people, your generation, is that you didn't have to inject it very often. The decanate ester attached to it is a 15 or 16 day half-life. So hypothetically, you can literally inject this stuff once a
What's a
month.
fool?
Once a month. Because remember, half-life is not active life. Half-life, you take the half-life, you multiply it by 4 or 5. It's in your system. So take 15 days and multiply it by 4. Okay? That's 60
60
days
days.
in your in your system. So it's going to be in your system a long time after you inject it. So technically, you can inject this stuff. A lot of people like to inject it twice a week, but you don't even have to inject it once a week or even once every 2 weeks. It's going to be in your system a long time. So it's another reason why they loved it. And with Primo, it came in little amps, 100 milligrams a milliliter. You literally had to inject that Primo every single day because the post-injection pain was so big on it that you could not inject more than 1 cc at a time. But with the DECA, you could load up a 3 cc syringe, load it up all the way until you run out of room on that syringe, and you can inject that whole thing, and you would get very minimal post-injection pain. So they loved DECA for all those reasons we talked about. And what Mobster said too about, helping with the joints and helping with that fluid in the joints and stuff, the collagen and stuff. Yeah, they like that as well. So, but
Even now, Steve, you actually mentioned on another show that the older, and it don't, Steve doesn't just mean when they were using it back in the day, the older athletes now will like Deca for that joint relief because it blows them up because it's got more bang for its buck. And of course, there's an argument for Decastive even to be, to some effect, a feel-good medication. Trend arguably would might make you feel a little bit toxic, but Deca, unless you have these side effects, can make you feel good. So if you've been training for a long ass time, you're an older athlete, you're not, you can use a relatively small amount. You don't always need to be 300-pound monsters. You can use a low dose. Take this, have that sense of joint relief while you're using it, and be an old Joe all over again, back in the gym kicking ass all the time that you're on a cycle. So yeah, I can see the older athletes, not just from before, Steve, with fond memories, but even now for that same reason. And of course,
And
they're familiar with it from before.
as I talked earlier, in those times, 80s and even going into the 90s, people had no knowledge about anti-estrogens. Anti-estrogens didn't start coming around to the late 80s, and not a lot of guys knew. It's not like today where we have podcasts, forums, Reddit, where people are spreading, news and knowledge, right? Back then, the only knowledge you got was from the bros at the gym. So how many people really knew about anti-estrogen? So there's another good reason why they like DECA is because they'd run the DECA and not have to deal with those estrogenic side effects like I talked about earlier. Now you try running testosterone at 400 milligrams a week and see what happens. You're gonna blow up like a dead fish. You're gonna get moon face. You're gonna get gynecomastia. You're gonna have a lot of these side effects from estrogen that's not gonna come with DECA. DECA doesn't have those estrogenic risks like testosterone does. But again, if you're stacking it with a lot of testosterone, then you will get those side effects. So that's why people always argue that with me. Like, Steve, you're wrong. I got gyno on Decadec, 10 years ago. I say, what were you running with it? Oh, I was running test with it and I was running Dianabol with it. I'm
I
like,
want to get
okay, so
I
you're
want to get into
running.
that a little bit, Steve. So listen, guys, when we're talking about Decadec, we're talking about, I would say, Steve, let's say it's a maximum. This is purely me throwing this number out there. It's not statistically based. Let's imagine for a second that 100 guys use Deca on cycle. 10% arguably might be sensitive and get Decadec issues. Here's the problem. As often as not, it's the lack of information, or, and as I said, I referred to it earlier on the bro science. So you don't know the age, you don't know the condition, you don't know what else they've done, you don't know their cycle history, you don't know their sensitivity to using performance enhancing drugs. They might be really bad trainers, really bad lifestyles, really poor eating, and so on and so forth. They might have pre-existing medical issues. And our problem is on forums. And we do dig into this on our forums. We will ask those questions as well. Is that typically, and especially if you're Googling research type information, you are getting a superficial, at best, snapshot of an individual. And you then say, oh, okay, so what ratio of testosterone is you running? Did you use an AI? Was you overweight? How's your blood pressure? Are you on other medications? And so on and so forth. And then when you start to get into that, you start to realize there's so much going on. One of the things I said to Steve in the pre-show is the psychological impact of erectile dysfunction, and specifically the impact here and the thought process that comes with having issues like Decadec, right? So there's an argument to be made for what some scientists, social scientists, call hypermasculinity. In other words, guys that use steroids, and especially for the libido vert part of boosting part of using steroids, you get into the, being able to fuck multiple times per day instead of a few times a week, and the comparisons between those two numbers. Yesterday I was shaking like it was going out of fashion. I've come off cycle. Today I can only get hard two or three times a week. They forget that, for example, yesterday they might have been in their late 30s, but now they're in their 50s. It's going to make a difference. Previously was on cycle. Of course, there's a boost. A lot of the time, not every time, but a lot of the time, versus being off. And then the psychological impact, the hypermasculinity plays into this in terms of they don't feel like a man because I can't get as hard as I did before. And that in and of itself, when it comes to ED as well, erectile dysfunction, is a head fuck. So specifically, and I'll touch on this now, Steve, one of the threads, or the thread, was, and I'm not going to name the member, but you can come onto the forums, check, and we have got links to the thread in question. He's been quite open, so it's not a question of me hiding his name just because, but I don't want to put it out on the internet or on a podcast. But specifically, he created a thread some time ago, and this is the more up-to-date part of this thread, I believe it's going back some years. And the early part of this year, he started to discuss a issue with Decker Dick that, in his words, had lasted for 10 fucking years, Steve. And I was like, how has it only affected your penis? I think it was one of my questions for 10 years. So in and of that self was a thing. And he actually rephrases, I'll read this. This is the whole of this particular paragraph, April the 22nd of this year. Been on cable now for more than a month, and I don't feel any different libido-wise. No doubt someone had recommended cabling, or cable going, should I say. The internet's oldest case of Decker Dick endures, so he's not hiding it. 20 years this has begun. It's even a little longer than I said, Steve. Not 10 years, 20 years. There is one recent silver lining, though, for any fellow sufferers scouring the internet looking for a cure. I started using Cialis at just 5 milligrams a day. I do ask why he hadn't considered Cialis for the last 20 fucking years, Steve, but we get into that as well. And then after using it for a few months, I discontinued it and my ED problem was gone and I no longer need to take it. I can only assume that the DECA caused the little veins in my penis to atrophy and the Cialis was consistent with the consistent increased blood flow regenerating them. Crazy, I know, after something that's been going on for so long, but that's what I think happened. Let's just discuss this briefly, Steve. ED drugs have been available for fucking ages, at least 10, 12, 13 years. Easy access and prescriptive access slightly longer, 15 or 20 years. So God knows why he wasn't using Cialis before. 5 milligrams isn't even the daily dose. I think 20, 10 to 20 years. The idea that DECA caused the little veins in my penis to atrophy, that's bro science right there. I think that was specifically what made me say, why would only the veins in your penis atrophy? Why wouldn't anything else in your body be affected? That makes no sense. And a Cialis with a consistent increased blood flow? No, only while you're using the Cialis. That's kind of how all the ED drugs work. Otherwise, we'd all have permanent fucking hard-ons all the time from using ED drugs. It doesn't work like that. It boosts you when you're using the drug. And shortly thereafter, for a few hours, I think the longest Levitra off the top of my head, Steve, is called the Weekender for that reason. Viagra, I believe, is 4 hours. I think Cialis is 8, 9, 10, 12 hours, but certainly not a consistent thing. Crazy, I know, after something that's been going on for so long, but that's what I think happened. Fine, listen, right? Let's call Joe. Let's call him Joe. I'm glad Joe's found a cure, but how much of what he's just said, Steve, is bro science, and how much of what is kind of is if it's so wrong, which I think some parts of it are, how come it's cured him? I would argue this is a psychological hypermasculinity thing, getting into the hole, can't get hard. That becomes some sort of thing like a hamster wheel in your brain. You start to think about it all the fucking time, that which makes it worse because now you're stressed. The idea that somehow taking 5 milligrams a day for a short period of time, a few months of Cialis, has cured a problem that's lasted 20 years for the reasons that you stated don't make any sense at all. And we will talk about the actual effects on your body and what, when side effects occur with DECA, what those side effects are. So talk about this briefly, Steve, and then we'll talk about the other aspects as well.
Okay, so first off, Deca Dick, what is it? And Mobster kind of didn't explain exactly what it is. He kind of just went into the whole thing explaining what it is. So to put it plainly, Deca Dick is erectile dysfunction after using Deca or during using Deca. So that's the way I would define it. Do you agree or disagree, Mobster, with that? Would you add anything?
100%, 100%,
Does
Steve. I
that
don't
sum it
think.
up? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think so. That's it's a summation that we can agree on 100%.
So it's not, it's one of those things where I feel like guys started saying it and then a lot of people
Yes,
started parroting it. And a lot of people like,
that's what I'm on about, Steve. I
yeah.
think the
And
idea
then,
of repeating it, and that doesn't make it factual. That just makes it a repeated opinion.
so the but there is a couple reasons why that steroids can cause erectile dysfunction and specifically
Yes.
DECA can cause erectile dysfunction. So let me get into
Yes.
that first. And then I'll let you back in. So first
Yeah.
off, nandrolones do something a little different than what other anabolic steroids do. And this is by design. Okay, remember how I said earlier, you're going to experience less estrogenic and less androgenic side effects. I left one thing out though. I left out that it's that DECA in nandrolones, including nandrolone phenylpropionate, are going to cause less DHT side effects. Now, what is DHT? DHT is dihydrotestosterone. Now, the typical DHT side effect that a lot of people complain about is hair loss. So when you're running anabolic steroids over time, no matter which anabolic steroid you use, pretty much, especially the ones that are DHT derivatives, and especially the ones that are testosterone derivatives that do convert to DHT in the body, you're raising DHT whenever you run anabolic steroids. The more you run, more over time, and then as you get older, DHT obviously continues to affect. And what DHT will do is it will fry your head hair follicles. So one of the cool things about DECA is it doesn't cause that DHT conversion, but instead, it's a derivative of dihydronandrolone, and that is a 5A reduced derivative of nandrolone. So obviously, when you're using nandrolone, dihydronandrolone will increase, and it will swamp the DHT in your system. So that in itself could be causing your decadic, because what happens is if you're very sensitive to changes to DHT and that ratio of DHT to DHN, which is the dihydronandrolone, it can affect you. Now, some of us out there are not sensitive to DHT. And one of the ways you'll know this is if you were to run a DHT derivative, what happens? Do you get harder? Does your penis get harder? Do you get more libido? Do you get more, do you have more of the urge? Okay. You'll know in that case that, yeah, I'm a good reactor to DHT. And some people aren't a good reactor to DHT. Some people are better reactors to androgens in the system. And remember
Yes.
with DECA, because DECA is way less androgenic than testosterone, you're going to be missing the androgenic effect. You're going to be missing the DHT effect. So for a lot of you out there who are very sensitive to androgens and DHT in a good way, where if you run
Yes.
something like Tren, you want to have sex nonstop, that I'm more androgenic effect. Some people are more DHT effect, and some people are both, and some people may not
Yeah.
be either.
Just
So
for the
everybody's a little
listeners' benefit,
different.
yeah. Just for the listeners' benefit, think of it this way, listener. Your own in this example, and we're talking about decadent specifically today. You're only going to be dealing with the people that have that issue, so you're going to hear more about decadent because it's a problem than you are about people that like deca, get on well with deca, have no side effect issues with deca, or minimal side effect issues with deca. In the same way that, for example, Trend has a lot of fans. You're going to hear people going, you will hear about the side effects of Tren, but equally you'll get people go, Tren is God, Tren is gold, Tren is this, Tren is that. You should run Tren with every cycle because those people respond well. And it's one of those, like, the loudest voice gets the most attention in this example. So when it comes to Decadic, when it be notorious, it isn't. It's that percentage of people. And then, of course, if you have used other steroids, if you have had the libido bursting, want to fuck all the time effects from a stack that didn't include Deca, the comparison, the difference between that stack and this Deca stack and its effects on your body, if you are sensitive, is so obvious, but it's still only so obvious in a small percentage of people. But those are the people that are going to come on and go, I've used Deca and I've got Decadic. I would argue, Steve, that the other 90% aren't on there complaining about it because they didn't have that problem. So it's kind of that weird situation. And again, like I said, it's apples versus oranges. So if I'm on trend, I'd expect for me to feel a certain particular way. I know that Steve and I both experienced some of those effects that Steve's referred to when I've used a very small amount, very briefly. Never been the idea. Neither of us are fans of using higher amounts, and that would be for a particular reason. But we've got Body Monster would be a great example, Steve, one of our regular members who thinks Trend should be in every fucking cycle. And I mean, every cycle. And he obviously enjoys how he feels and how he
Yeah.
responds.
Well, his wife is very sexual, and he also messes around with lot lizards a lot. which are
Yeah, he
very
talks
cheap.
about her being 300
Yeah.
pounds a time to the kitchen the other day. So we take some of
Yeah.
what he says with a
So
pinch of salt. But yeah.
explain the difference between lot lizards, like in South, deep South America, and what you guys
Yeah.
have in Britain. Don't you guys pay like a
I
penny?
actually saw a meme of this, and it's a picture of two trucks, Steve, and a woman, let's be honest, is basically a prostitute of some description, and they go to the truck pull-ins, the roadside cafes, whatever you want to call them here in the UK or in America, and they patrol, shall we say, walk around the lot where the trucks are parked up. And find out if any of the truckers are interested in having a good time. And then look, some of these ladies aren't charging. Some of it is literally knowing that a trucker is going to feel lonely. It's going to be a fling. I'm going to enjoy myself for the evening. The same as if you go to a club, there's certain girls there always. But the lot lizard goes to the lot. She goes to the truck pool. She's not at the club. She's not at the
So in
bar. She's not at the
Britain,
pub.
so compare that to Britain where
Do
it's
we have
legal.
them in Britain? I believe we do, but I don't think
Oh.
it's a thing in and of itself. But then I'm not a truck driver. There's always, when
I gotta
CBE.
move to Britain if you guys have legal prostitution. I gotta move there.
We
Huh?
don't really have, we don't have legal prostitution, but it's more being a prostitute is not illegal. You are more likely
It's
to
like decriminalized.
it's kind of not. It's like the
Yeah.
steroid gray area thing.
Yeah.
A pimp, a person that manages prostitute lives off immoral earnings. The woman does not. That's literally her job. So a pimp would be in more trouble than a prostitute. The association with drugs and the
Yeah.
situations that women find themselves in are more likely to get them in trouble here in the UK. And in fact, arguably, the police try to manage it. But then, of course, it depends. If you're outside of school or in a residential area, then it tends to be a big problem. But it's not big. I think we might have even had one in this street where I live, Steve. Why was there a red light in that window all the fucking time? But it's not a big deal. But it can be. And again, it's one of those, if you're a young parent, it's a head fuck. I don't want tarts around my kid. Whereas
So in
if
all
you're a young,
seriousness, let's wrap this
yeah,
up.
so let's move on anyway. Yeah,
So
let's just do
let me
something
just say
else.
this. Yeah. So listen, with DECA, if you take away DHT, you take away androgens, and you increase the HN in the body, then that mix alone can cause a reduction in libido and reduction in erections. There's also
Yes.
the other element of
Yes.
estrogen. And a lot of you out there don't know this, but if you don't have a lot of estrogen in your system, that can also cause erection issues and libido issues as well. So estrogen is also an important factor as well. And a lot of you out there will do well on high amounts of androgens and high amounts of estrogen. That's
Yeah,
like a
just very
fuel to the
quickly on that,
fire.
Steve. How many times have we seen younger members of the forum kind of theorizing that if they crush their estrogen, the little bit of testosterone that they're naturally producing will somehow become super anabolic? And the answer is no. You are meant to have a ratio of naturally occurring testosterone to estrogen. I believe it's 7 to 1 or 9 to 1 testosterone to estrogen in men. I think it's estrogen ratio to testosterone. I think in women is less. I think it's 4 to 1 or slightly higher. But you must have a small amount. And I thought there's even the argument here, Steve, which we're getting to on another show about, wait until you've got issues with not having an AIA on hand, not managing your estrogen, and so on and so forth. Talk also, Steve, about the progestin versus estrogen issue that comes with DECA.
Yeah, and that's so overdone. And then we also see the prolactin thing, like people have this theory about prolactin. Prolactin is an effect, basically after your orgasm, your prolactin levels shoot up. And that's basically you get sent into a refractory period where you don't have the urge again. So for some of you, it could be 5 minutes, for some of you could be an hour, for some of you could be
Yeah,
5 hours,
yeah,
some of you could be a
yeah,
one
yeah.
day, some of you could be 1 week. Everybody's a little
Yes,
different. So a lot of
yes.
people, what they'll do, we're going to talk about how to manage DECA in a second, and that's going to be one of the things too that we're going to add. So I wanted to kind of structure this segment a little bit, how to manage DECA and kind of structure the different things we've talked about in this, and kind of find ways to kind of use DECA to our advantage, including what you were
Yes.
saying, Mobster, about using something for prolactin and getting prolactin levels down. So let's start with DHT in the body. So I've already talked about in the last segment, and I'll kind of repeat it again. When you're running DECA, Your DHT gets swamped. Your DHT will drop relative to DHN in the body. And for a lot of you, that can cause the decadic issue. So what do we do here to get the DHT balance back? Run a DHT derivative. That would be the simplest way to do it. So instead of forcing the issue and running a shit ton of testosterone to generate enough DHT and causing more side effects in the process, it makes more sense to stack something like Proviron with DECA. And Proviron is a straight DHT derivative. It's got low side effects. Even in situations, let's say you're listening to this podcast and you're, post cycle and you have Decadic, all right, and you're very concerned. One of the things that you can do here is use Proviron even in PCT or even between cycles, because a lot of times it's not going to be suppressive with certain people. And I've seen the blood work for myself because Proviron is a very unique compound because it's more of a drug than it is an anabolic steroid. Because if you run it by itself, it's not going to do shit for you, except maybe harden you up a little bit. So Proviron is a great way, is a great option. I always recommend to stack Proviron with DECA for that reason. So 25 to 50 milligrams of Proviron. It's also not liver toxic, so you can run it the whole way. There's a couple other DHT derivatives. Masteron is another option that you can run with DECA. And Masteron, you can run it from anywhere from 200 to 400 milligrams, and that will help offset the side effects as well. But it is going to require injection. So a lot of people don't like that. A lot of people would rather just do the Proviron, which is just the pill that you take every day. Anything to add to
Yeah, I'd
DHT?
also think with the Masteron, Steve, that would probably be on cycle versus the Proviron, which could be run on and off cycle, arguably.
Let's get into estrogen a little bit. And I talked about how DECA doesn't aromatize into estrogen very much. And if you're sensitive to lower estrogen, you need more estrogen to generate libido and erections, that can hurt. So obviously, the number one way to boost estrogen would be to run testosterone with the DECA. And for this, a lot of people make the mistake when it comes to they run too much testosterone with DECA. And I'm going to shoot down, a lot of these theories out there where people say, oh, you should run the same amount of testosterone as DECA, or you should run twice as much testosterone as DECA. Where are you getting this information? Is this just something you pulled out of your ass? Is this something from personal experience?
I've seen what Steve's seen. I've seen it range from 1 to 1 to 3 to 1, and that was just very looking at some of the research for today, Steve. In my own personal experience, because I've always used DECA with Sustanon, I think the Sustanon is very slightly higher. But again, that's my individual response. So maybe that's what you're looking at there. The range of what people talk about is their own personal experience, not necessarily what would benefit someone without their own responses. So what do you think the kind of ratios should be, if there is any ratio?
Well, I think you should run the testosterone less. You need to just get enough to bring up your estrogen levels. So I'd run no more than 100, 200 milligrams of testosterone with DECA. Remember, the whole reason you're running DECA in the first place. Work with me on this, everyone out there who's saying, who's shaking your head, be like, no, Steve, you're wrong. Work with me on this. What's the reason in the first place you're running DECA? Think about it. Think about it real good. What is the reason in the first place you're running DECA? It's because you want less side effects. And you want to get those joint effect, you want to do heavier weight, you want to get a clean appetite bulk, right? That's the whole reason. So why if you don't if you're not if you want to run testosterone, then just don't even bother with DECA. Just run the testosterone 400, 500 milligrams a week and call it a day. The whole reason the guys in the 80s and 90s wanted to run DECA and did not run testosterone is they didn't want all the side effects from testosterone. So why are you jacking up your testosterone dose with DECA? If it doesn't even make sense, you might as well just not even run DECA. You see what I'm saying? It's absurd. It's like running tren and then running a bunch of testosterone with tren. What's the point of
Just as
doing
an
that?
analogy, Steve, we actually had it, and it came up on the forums some months ago, where someone, look, we talked, we you and I have done shows. Can you bulk on a dry drug? Can you get lean on a wet drug? So, comparing, for example, Anavar with Dynabol. And it's one of those weird situations where someone come up and said, oh, I'm going to run a dry drug with a wet drug, and we're like, what precisely are you trying to fucking do? Do you want to get leaner? Do you want to get harder? Do you want to get bigger? Do you want to get strong? What is it that you want to do? And why is it that those are the two choices you've made? Because there needs to be some thought process involved. Look, some of the argument for back in the day, Steve, was accessibility. For example, Steve said, We've only really looked at the access to AIs really from the late 80s, 90s onwards. So accessibility to the full range of products and testosterones, including products from Pharmacou, was minimal then. You got what you got. Now you have access to everything. So why are you still using some of the theories and ideas from when there was a time when products weren't available? Why are you? It's like the analogy of the bolt in the barn door after the horse has already bolted. Here we're comparing the two at the same fucking time. Why are you doing this and this at the same time? Why are you doing something that's supposed to create, as Steve said, a low side effect situation, and then adding disproportionate amounts of something that might then give you side effects? You're doing something to cancel the very thing that you decided you wanted to do in the first place. It doesn't make any sense. And there's no reason for it because the theories are 30 or 40 years old. The ideas are 30 or 40 years old, and they're based on accessibility to AIs and accessibility to testosterone and PEDs of any kind being absolutely limited to whatever the fuck you could get hold of back in the day. And that is the science. That is the data. That is the bro science. That information's been parroted from then till now, and there should be a different sort of process of thinking. There's greater information for this podcast, greater accessibility to products. So therefore, you shouldn't be doing a 30, 40-year-old idea, which didn't work well, but was all that you fucking had then. You have more now. You have greater accessibility now. Your knowledge of yourself and the effects of PEDs on you should be based on information for tens of thousands of people. And 20 or 30 or 40 years of information, Steve. So you carry on.
So we've talked about DHT, pharmacoprovirin, pharmacomaseron. We've talked about estrogen, pharmacotestosterone. There's also with estrogen another one that you can do is which is Dienable. And Dienable, I would run say 10 to 20 milligrams a day with DECA. That's it. You don't want to run any more. So that would be a good option too to bring up your estrogen. Now let's talk about androgens a little bit. And if you're the type of person that you get really aggressive on androgens, which most of us will, and that aggression is also going to have the libido and erection improvements as well, because that's the whole point of being more androgenic. So a great option that you can stack with DECA would be trenbolone if you have experience. It's a very aggressive option, but I can pretty much assure you that if you run tren with DECA, that you're going to be horny as fuck the whole cycle if you are a good reactor. If you are a good reactor to androgens, okay? And the keep in mind too that any of these steroids that we're talking about, especially things like testosterone and tren that are more androgenic or more estrogenic, it can backfire on you. Because what happens when it comes to erections? What is something that can hurt erections? Is a poor amount of blood flow, heart issues, cardiovascular issues. So you never want to, run something if you already have these types of issues, these blood clot issues. So if you've got bad blood pressure, bad cholesterol, bad issues, do not run tren at all. Forget it. And you shouldn't probably be running testosterone either, especially at a moderate dose or higher, because you'll end up straining your heart health more, and now you're really not going to have cardiovascular issues. So a lot of the guy who posted the thread that we talked about earlier, a big reason why he probably had Deca Dick or what he thought was Deca Dick for 10 years was because he ran out
20
of oxygen.
years, Steve. 20 years. Yeah, exactly. I agree with Steve when
Yeah,
I
so
said this.
let me kind of finish what I'm saying. So one of the main reasons why that could have been happening is he ran out of anabolic steroids. He ended up having the anabolic steroids contributed to some heart issues when it came to his hematocrit, his cholesterol levels, his blood pressure. And when that happens, the blood flow is not going to get down to your penis, and then you're not going to be able to get an erection, obviously. So if you don't have good blood flow, you're not going to get anything to your penis. It's like if you have a very stressful day at work, you're going to have a hard time getting an erection because the stress, all that stress builds in your brain, the blood goes to your brain, it's not getting to your penis. So that's the big problem. We talked about the lot lizard thing earlier. How many times have people said that they've had erection issues, and then they go to a strip club, or they go, they find some random chick off of what's it called, whatever those apps are called, You know what I'm talking about, like whatever planet they
Tinder and whatever, yep.
And they find some random chick on there and they hook up. They meet up at a hotel and they hook up for a random fling and boom, now they have erections. It's because it's all psychological. It's a psychological thing in your brain.
Hugely, it's a huge part.
A lot of you out there, you're just sick of banging your wife or girlfriend. It's just the same pussy over and over and
Well,
over. And you get
there is
sick and
that
tired of
aspect,
it.
Stephen, and something else to touch upon. And you've done shows on this kind of adult conversation stuff in the past, right? The hyper-masculinity thing keys into this, and what we see in the movies, and what we see on TV, and what we read. We women used to read in Cosmo. Listen, I'm 60 years of age. That gives me a great advantage to know that when I was younger, I was this more or less sexual. In my 30s, I was this more or less sexual. I was this level when I was in my 50s. I was this level when I hit 60. Guys aren't having a conversation. This is part of the decadic issue as well. You're not having a conversation which compares like with like. As I said earlier, if you're fat and out of shape, if you've got medical issues, if you allow it to mess with your head, then you're going to just sort of compound the problem. If you're in shape, if you eat healthily, if you work out in moderation, even just going crazy in a gym will fuck you up. So your overtraining is not going to do your libido any good. If you're on medication, including performance enhancing drugs, and then comparing that with coming off, all of these things are going to make a difference. And that's where as I said just now, getting into the age. I think teenagers, when their balls drop, when puberty hits, can talk about getting wood while they're just in a classroom, they're getting wood when the wind changes. And that's almost uncontrollable because they're not used to testosterone at that level. They're not used to the hormonal changes. I've been in a situation of going without for years at a time, and it didn't concern me. Normal libido, Steve, just wasn't interested in Tracy's skirt. And I've talked about on another show, this is with and without Decker, Steve. I was on Plenty of Fish, so there's an app for you. And I went fucking shit crazy for several months, had multiples per week. At one point, didn't do the Tinder thing, but I think 5 in 1 week, 2 in 1 day, everybody knew what the fuck was going on, and I enjoyed myself. And it was I won't say that my libido went crazy, but I was surprised that I was able to perform at that level. But it was a short period of time versus my normal levels. And then you look at the statistics. Statistic number one, Steve, is that they reckon the average married couple in the US and in the UK only has sex once a week. I'm like, what the fuck? Because we train, because we work out, I would argue our libido should be a little bit better than that. But Steve's quite correct. You're living, you're working, you're stressed, only fucking once a week, maybe masturbating a couple of times. And then you get into that, like I said, the hyper-masculinity thing, which is how you feel on certain PEDs, and you feel like Superman in the bedroom. You come off, it could be a head fuck to come off because your libido goes back to normal or less than normal, so your body fucking responds and recovers. And that could be a major head fucking, and it starts to play with you in the psychological aspect, as Steve says, just on EDs. It's much more openly discussed now, but it's still not something you go down to the pub, stand on the fucking bar, and say, I can't get a hard on to everybody in the room, because it would just mess with your head if that was the way that you was. It wouldn't make things easy. So unfortunately, that lack of discussion plays with it. The idea, as we said with regards to the thread, the particular person in question was somehow super fit, super lean, etc. I doubt it. Underlying medical issues and so on and so forth. Yeah. So I'll ask Steve this as well, Steve. So you've done shows on sort of men's health type advice, etc., etc., and sort of male cosmo sort of approach. Talk about sometimes men's inability to necessarily recognize issues in and of
Yeah,
themselves,
so
i.e. the medical stuff. There's
before we
also
get
the psychological, psychological
before we get to
thing.
the psychological, let's do the fourth one as well, which is prolactin. All right? So listen, when you achieve an orgasm, your prolactin goes up. That's why you lose interest in sex for a period of time, right? That's called the refractory period. I touched about touched on it earlier. So what happens is this is a way that nature prevents overpopulation. Otherwise, we would just want sex 24/7. We want to be able
And we'd
to.
get eaten, we'd die, we'd get poisoned, whatever, and we'd never get anything done.
Yeah, we never get anything done. So it's very, very important. It's not a bad thing that we go through this refractory period. So what happens is a lot of people, when they're using DECA, they like to use CABR with it. So Pharmaco has CABR, And cabergoline is a drug that you can take. It's not a hormone, it's a drug that you can take that will artificially lower prolactin. So that refractory period may be 24 hours, maybe 12 hours, maybe 4 hours, whatever. So a lot of people like to take caber on a honeymoon or something for that reason, or they like to run caber while they're using DECA because it's going to shorten that refractory period and make you want to do it more often. And when you want to do it more often, you're going to get confidence, and it's going to help with your erections, and it's going to help if you do suffer from Decadic. And it's safe to take in PCT. It's safe to take in between cycles. You can take it anytime because it's a drug, it's not a hormone. So that's another option that you can use. It's a very expensive drug, but it is effective. But here's the thing, you don't have to use much. So you can take like 1 milligram of pill and just chop it up into like three pieces and take it 3 times a week. And that would be, so you can take it 1 milligram a week, but chop it up into three doses 3 times a week. And that will do the job for you, especially, and you can take, like I said, anytime you can take it. So let's get into the psychological effects of erections overall. And one of the things I talked about earlier before I bring you in, Mobster, is the parroting, is the forum parroting, the bro signs parroting. And a lot of people say Decadic, Decadic, Decadic. So then people try Deca and they're like, oh my God, I'm getting Decadic. It's the same thing as when I go fishing and people talk about seasickness. If the conversation, it's so funny, if the conversation when everybody's getting on the boat is seasickness, I'm worried about seasickness, I'm worried about seasickness. We get out there, it's funny because the entire boat's thrown up from seasickness. But if no one mentions seasickness, and no one mentions that it's that's oh, that's bullshit. Seasickness doesn't really exist. You'll be fine. Don't worry. Don't listen to people who told you get sea. Nobody gets sick. Isn't that funny how it works? It's the same thing with this. And a lot of this is psychological.
I literally did a seminar, Steve, and this is just for the psychological stuff. I literally did a seminar to do with grip. There was kettlebells was the main part, and I was brought on as a sideshow, and I had an audience. Team of people that had paid to be there doing the kettlebell stuff. And my thing was to persuade them to. I got one athlete to try to close the gripper, and I took them to one side and I G'd them up. I really got into their head and I was going to boost their confidence, etc. That was one aspect. And the other aspect was to take everybody else and say that when this person comes back and they have another go on the gripper, the first grip time was cold, second time was with them cheering, them shouting, them egging them on. And the performance, both the pressure of people shouting at you. And the verbal encouragement was huge, but it was literally fucking words, Steve. So the psychological impact, how our brains work, and our ability to persuade ourselves certain things are true and certain things are not true is huge, huge. So the parroting of misinformation will, in and of itself, have an effect. The idea that you can't get an erection will, in and of itself, have an effect. And it's just you're if you stress over it, you're going to produce more stress hormone, so that it becomes a fucking thing in and of itself, feeding on itself. I can't imagine, like I said, with this particular person, that the idea of not being able to get hard for 20 years is such a head fuck, would be unbelievable. That's not the case for most people. It's a temporary thing until things settle down. And like I said again, age, sexual, whatever, the amount of natural testosterone you produce. The way we're much better now at having these conversations than we used to be, but we're still not 100. Women will talk about menstrual cycles and periods with people they've just met at a party, especially if they've had a drink, Steve. Men will not talk about their libido that openly, although we are getting better at it. So I would actually argue, Steve, perhaps, arguably, we are seeing less comments. We're still seeing comments, otherwise, we wouldn't have done the show. But less issues with Decadic because we're getting better at being open about our use of PEDs, about our other underlying medical conditions, and so on. But you must understand this now. It can feed in and of itself, and you might be persuaded by your own psychological thought processes, the way that you think about it. And as Steve said, just one Decadic issue, which wasn't really a Decadic issue, just you had a hard day at work, and I'm on Decadic. Had a hard day at work, and you think it's a Decca that's caused you to have an ED issue for a day. And then it starts to become, well, I'm on this for another 6 weeks. So then I've got 6 weeks of ED. No, just perhaps today. And so you need to be aware of that aspect. So you need to run the products like Steve's described in the way that we talked about, using a company like Pharmacro that we know is legit versus allowing it to run away with itself, not fixing it. not changing the ratios of products you're using, not using cabergoline and some, not using a DHT, not understanding the ratios of the relationship between estrogen and androgens and all those kind of things. And again, perhaps the worst example, Steve, is getting on advice on these kind of things from a bro at the gym, looking, like I said, at the wrong kind of websites and the wrong forums, and rely on AI to produce some information because it's going to be based on that information from 20 or 30 years ago. It's not going to be based on the science. It's not going to be based on the studies. I've literally got on the screen, that Steve knows, discussing the pre-show, a Science Direct article done by two scientists working with a single individual that dealt with the whole hypermasculinity and bro science aspect of it, and the long-term impact, et cetera, and the quote-unquote fixes that the individual in question tried to do because they were embarrassed about the issue. So they didn't go to doctor. Doctors themselves don't seem to understand it either. So let's talk a little bit about pharmacue as well, Steve,
Yeah,
because
and one of the things that Pharmaquo has, by the way, is Cialis and Viagra as well. So they don't just have these anabolic steroids. We went over the list of different anabolic steroids, whether it be DHT, estrogen, androgens, prolactin, the drugs, the Caber drug. But they also have these dick drugs like Cialis and Viagra. So you can pick those up as well. And the Viagra is short acting, Cialis is long acting. So if you are planning the encounter, and it's going to be in the next 2, 3 hours, you can take Viagra. If you're not planning it, and it could be any time, you can just take Cialis like every other day or every third day because it has a
if you
long
know you're
half-life.
doing a dirty weekend, take Levitra and enjoy yourself 48 hours. Look, I mean, here's the thing, guys, when it comes to Pharmacro, I'm literally looking at the page numbers here, Stephen. One particular site, which is a reseller of their products, has got, I think it's close to 80 different products that Pharmacro is producing. All different. I mean, just there's injectable as well as a pill form of Dianabol. And in fact, there's two different versions of that, Steve. So, yeah, I mean, look, you want to use a company like them for these kind of products and make sure you make the right choices. Again, here, Steve, with both domestic and international. Peptides, as well as anabolic steroids, as well as the dick drugs that Steve's referred to, orals and injectables of all kinds. Absolutely. One of the bits I'm looking at right now, Steve, is the low dose versions of Amavar in the form of Firmavar, which is similar, and Firmawin, which is both of these are low dose for female users. So they specifically dose some of their products just for the female part of the market that's going to be using PEDs at the super low dosages that are required by women. And obviously, we could talk about that on another show, perhaps the effects of testosterone and steroids on women. So you want to do to run these products much lower and much easier to split a 2.5 milligram or a 5 milligram pill rather than having to split a 50 milligram pill if you're a woman. So again, Pharmacro has you covered in that example. And look, every single one of these products I'm looking at, Steve says laboratory tested, means they've gone and had their products analyzed after production to show the quality of their product to make sure that it is dosed effectively, properly, in accordance to the way that they specified when the thing was being manufactured. And that's out of house as well as in-house. What about, for example, Steve, and we know this, I know that I can bring Steve back in for this. We know people on the forums that we work for, we do these shows for, that are using Pharmacro products and having great success from those products, Steve. What about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, they have it all. We've seen the reviews on Pharmaco. One of the things I like about sources is great customer service and great prices as well. Gotta have it. You gotta have both. And there's fast shipping, and they have different options for domestic, international. So you can go, come on the forum, evolution.org, check out Pharmaco, see what they got. And they are an excellent source. Really, in life, really, you've got to depend on your source. You got to have a source that you can trust. You don't want to send them money and have them ghost you. You don't want to send them money and have them ship you the wrong item. So Pharmacol, really, I'm going to say like 99.9% positive reviews on Pharmacol. I mean, they really are a fantastic, fantastic brand. And I've used their products. I know Mobster, you have used their products. They're excellent. I'm sitting here right now in front of me. I got one of their products right now that I'm using. So I'm looking at it right now. So it's an excellent, excellent product. You gotta love high quality gear. You gotta love
One
it.
of the things, I like, Steve, and I've talked about this on other shows, when it comes to companies like Pharmacro, is literally how you want a medication to look like a medication. And what do I mean by that? Any of you that have ever stood in front of a chemist counter or pharmacist counter in the States, and they've got the white coat on, they will go to those cupboards at the back of the counter, Stephen. They will open up the cupboard to fill out your prescription. And all of that medication from Big Pharma that's not being over-the-counter products has to look a certain way, has to abide by certain standards. And the look is a certain sort of generic, slight differences from one company to the next, but there's a clean, hygienic, medical-like look that inspires confidence in you. So when you look at sources, I've seen sources with wonky labels, my child's first printing kit type printing, and so on and so forth. When we talk about UGLs, we say, oh, we want to see holograms, we want to see barcodes, we want to see batch numbers, we want to see when the product was produced, when it's to be used by, and so on and so forth. And these are all the things that I would expect from that pharmacy counter cupboard, and that product is put on the tape that into the bag, and it's filling my prescription out. That's what I want to see. And Pharmaco goes there. All of their products look like they would be something you could find in a pharmacy's stock cupboard. It'd be brought out to you in a bag to be handed over for your prescription. That look inspires confidence in me because if they're putting effort into how the product's being presented, means they're putting effort, in my mind, into sterility, quality, guaranteeing you the milligram to milliliter basis, and so on and so forth. And these kind of things inspire you and literally makes you more confident about the cycle that you're doing because you go, I know people that have used this. I've seen the results they've had. Here's photographs. Mumps is talking about that. Look, that's the look. It looks like a prescription medication and it inspires you to think and feel in that particular way. So you feel secure that you're doing your cycle, that you've used an approved source like Pharmaco. And if you put the work in, if you put the fucking effort at the table with your knife and fork, if you prep your food, if you run a log on the forums, you should almost certainly get the absolute best results. And that's the way that that's the reason why we talk about companies like Pharmaquote, and we say these are the reasons why we recommend these companies when you're doing a cycle. And again, so you get high quality DECA, for example, high quality testosterone, high quality gabagoline, high quality erectile dysfunction drugs. That's what we're looking for, guys. Let us know your thoughts on the subject. Come onto the forums, put some comments below. If you think we did a great job, please share, like, love, and hit that algorithm for us. Please note, we are not doctors and the opinion is ours. It is our view based on our experience and views on the topic. Our podcasts are for informational purposes and entertainment only, the freedom of speech and the First Amendment.